All right, Luke chapter 1 verses, or chapter 11 verse 1 through 4. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are mighty, that your word is mighty. Lord, that you would guide us through this coming year. And Lord, this morning, as your prayer would teach us to submit our plans and our lives towards you, Lord. Lord, that we might see your kingdom, that your will would be released in our lives, Lord. That we might see evil pushed back, that we might see sin pushed back, that we might see your righteousness and holiness, Lord, loose, Lord, in our lives, Lord. Lord, 2011, we need to see that, Lord. Got enough failure, enough stuff going on around us, Lord. We need to be children of your kingdom. Lord, we give you praise for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, yesterday morning, New Year's morning, I got up and I got on my treadmill because I got to be healthy. I did 2 miles on my treadmill, and when I'm done, I feel so good. How many, do you guys exercise? Who of you exercise? Put your hand. So my question for you is why is it such a labor to get out there and exercise when you get done, you feel so good? See, because of my, I got diabetes and I got to exercise. I got to keep my weight down. And when you exercise, the insulin goes in a lot easier. I mean, so many good things happen. But when my schedule gets squeezed a little bit, you know what gets squeezed out? Exercise. And some of the most important things that we've got going on in our lives, when we get too busy, the most important things can get squeezed out. Amen? Is that the way it is with you? Something else can get squeezed out of our schedules. Prayer. Prayer, you just put a stop to your concerns in your life. Busyness of life, challenges of life. Put your focus on God. How much do you pray? How much do you put a focus on God? How much time are you desiring and asking God to just let his kingdom flow in your life? How much do you want the kingdom of God in your life? Lord gives us opportunities to step onto the edge of the kingdom. Those folks had a real cold step this morning. Amen? Lupita still, now, see, she was looking so happy up there. Now she's looking cold. But you know what? That was a step, right? They're saying, you know what? I'm going to step right on into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, right? And now, there are all kinds of opportunities to step into the kingdom. One is stepping into the kingdom with prayer time. How much time in 2010 did you spend in prayer? So you're saying, I'm a prayer warrior. And some of you right now are going, man, I got squeezed out. How about time in the Word of God? Some of you spend time in the Word. You want to step onto the edge of the kingdom of God. You're going to spend time in prayer. You're going to spend time in the Word. Can I get a witness from that, from somebody? Amen? Said, now, how about getting here? Oh, sometimes it's a Chargers game on. Oh, sometimes there's something else going on. Now, Martin, I talked to Martin. He was sick as a dog. And we can have him not be among us spreading those germs. Amen? Amen. Nobody's got a problem with that. But sometimes, I'm just tired. See, I mean, you spend some time in prayer, you spend some time in the Word, and you spend some time in church around God's people. Do you see those pictures of the Christmas Day feast? Oh, man. It was good. It was so good. Who came to the Christmas Day feast? Put your hand up. Weren't you guys blessed? Amen. It was good. How much time do you spend serving? Aaron, you're not teaching today. When you get down there and you start working with them kids, you blessed?
Oh, yes.
You know, Sandra, you are drinking in church, girl. I hope that's water. Not even water. You are busted. You're as bad as Jose. Kicking back. Tipping up. She's not boozing up. But you were quite intimidated to start working with Reverend Mars on Wednesday nights with the youth. And now you're exhilarated by that, right? You're seeing we were talking the other day, and you've been getting slammed by the enemy, right? Going into that, right?
Since I started, he told me from the beginning. He said, "Sister, I want to tell you." He's like, "The devil is going to take you down a path where he's not going to let you be here." That's exactly what's been happening.
But you're seeing now too. 2011 is going to be an opportunity for victory. Amen. Amen. See, you get in prayer, you get in the Word, you get in church, you get into service. And what happens is you start stepping out of your kingdom and you start stepping onto the edge of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I got anything else? How much time in 2010 did you have for God? And how much do you want God spending time on you? Amen? Amen. See, we want 2011 to be different than 2010. We want to step into the kingdom of God. He gives us keys for a transformation and prayer. Prayer is an opportunity for transformation. Prayer is an opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God. Let's take a look. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Number one. Number one, Jesus knew how to pray. John, good to see you, young man. I have got a great class for that little guy. Downstairs. It's his wife. Howard's wife will teach that young man. He'll hook him up. Yeah. All right. Jesus knew how to pray. Can I get a witness that Jesus knew how to pray?
Amen.
All right. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, I want to pray like you. Can you teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples how to pray?" You know what? We should want to get better at prayer. Amen? Do you want to get better at prayer?
Amen.
We could go home. Does anybody out there want to get better at prayer? Amen. Hallelujah. I need a witness. See, it helps me know that you're paying attention when I get a little feedback. I like that. One, how did Jesus get good in prayer? He spent time in prayer. In Luke chapter 6, it says he spent a whole night in prayer. We take a look at the Mount of Transfiguration. He went up the mountain to pray. Jesus liked to pray. Jesus was getting, there was something that was going on between Jesus and his Father in heaven when he prayed. Jesus was getting nurtured when he prayed. And that's why he prayed so much. Jesus came down to live a perfect life and die on the cross for our sins. Amen?
Amen.
While he was down here, he spent time in prayer syncing up with his Father in heaven. Now, Bible tells us, John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go back it also says in the Bible that nothing was created that was created except that was created through Jesus. You go all the way back to the creation account. Jesus was there in the creation account. And who also was there? Go look back at Genesis chapter 1, and it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep at creation. And so what we see in the Bible, which is portrayed, is this fellowship that happens between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what happened is God the Son, we just celebrated Jesus' birth, God the Son came down, put on flesh to live as a child among us. And as he did that, he sacrificed fellowship with his Father in heaven. And so what he attempted to do, or sought to do, was to sync back up with his Father in heaven. And we should have that same desire, to sync up with the kingdom of God while we're down here. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, "Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. He's going, you know what? I'm going to go hang on the cross, but you know what? Separated. I can't wait to get back to heaven and sync back up with you. As we come to our Father in prayer, as we come to God in prayer, there is something that we receive, and each one of us is missing a vital component in our lives. Now, we can try all kinds of avenues to fill. I tried many. I know many of you. What is that thing that is missing in my life? Maybe I'll find it here. Maybe I'll find it there. When you come to our Father in prayer, you will begin to find that missing component in your life, and you will be filled up. That's why the disciples saw this happening in Jesus' life, and they said, teach us how to do what you are doing, because we see something happening in you that needs to happen in us. Each one of us was created for fellowship with God. Each one of us was created to turn the phone off. Oh, I see the guilty party. That's good. It's going on. But see, sometimes God would say, you know what? You don't got any time for me, but you got time for your cell phone all day long. What do we got to do? Call you up? He says, I wrote you letters. You never read them. Point number two. Our prayer should have some direction. He said to them, okay, when you pray, this is how you pray. Say, Father, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come. Father, hallowed be your name. Father, holy is your name. And I want you to understand something, that our Father in heaven is entirely and totally different and separated from us. That's what that word holy means. When you are sanctified, when you're declared holy, you are taken out of the bad pile and put onto the good pile. You are sanctified. You are now holy. You are separate. And our Father in heaven is separate from his creation. He is distinct from us. He is different from us. And we need to get, you know, people say, oh, Jesus, my best buddy. Jesus ain't your buddy. Jesus is your Lord. He hung on a cross for you. I don't have any of my friends who hung on a cross and bled for me. I don't have any of my buddies who minister in a heavenly tabernacle before our Father in heaven and says, Aaron's doing a good job. Send some blessings his way. Let's just put some help that way. Bible says that Jesus intercedes for us. He is our great high priest, and Jesus is not our buddy. And see, as we pray to our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, that you are so holy, Lord, and we get an understanding of how separate and different that we can begin to go, wow, I got a little approach him. Amen? I got to do something. I can't just, God's cool with this. God ain't cool with that. We're going to talk about conviction of the Holy Spirit in a little bit. Let's see what we got here. Praying to the Father. Can you pray to the Son? Well, talk about the Scripture. Jesus says, I will do anything you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So we talk about the Father, we talk about the Son, we talk about the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father, we pray to the Son, and there is not... Sorry, I have to try and fix this. Yeah? Yeah? There it is. What am I hitting? Wow, that is bad. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I took the battery out of the handle. But... I don't know if I can preach that. Yes, turn me on there, bro.
Yes, hallelujah.
All right. Oh, yeah, so let's see. Let me find where I was at. What's so funny about that?
Oh, when I went, yes. I used to do this, preachers go, yes, all the time. So I'd try and do that with the microphone. I'd try that. Hey, there is no recorded prayer in the Bible to the Holy Spirit. Not one. And ask ourselves, well, can we pray to the Holy Spirit if he's never prayed to in the Bible? Well, to talk about the Holy Spirit, John 16, 13, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. And that he is our counselor, that he is our guide. And sometimes we need some help, we can ask our counselor for a little help. Amen? I'm sorry? That would be a prayer now, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. You know, there's some people who realize that we need some guidance down here. Amen? You know what they're doing? They're making some money, you know, and they're making them GPS units. What, they got a TomTom. That's a map tracks. Anybody got a map tracks? Anybody got a TomTom? Anybody got a GPS? Are you kidding me? Nobody in this church has a GPS? You know, one of them little map things? Yeah, your phone tells you, okay, your phone works. Yeah, come on. You've heard those things, right? In 15 yards, turn left. Turn around. You're going the wrong way. They're getting paid, man. They're making some money. Don't put your feet up there, girl. Holy Spirit is our guide. Amen? Sometimes he'll convict you of sin. And that he's telling you, don't do that. I don't want you to do that. And sometimes you're going to say, you're going the right way. You are doing the right thing. And guess what? You need to listen to that. Amen? He is our guide. Can I get a witness on that? All right. Point number two, asking for the presence of the kingdom. Asking for the presence of the kingdom of God. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. We talked about that part. Your kingdom come. Do you want the kingdom of God released in your life? Do you want to find his guide and his leadership in your life? See, the kingdom of God can be one step closer to us. The question is do you want it? He says, seek the kingdom of God. Now, some of us think, oh, there's the kingdom of God. Woo! You know, when you die, you go to heaven. And, you know, and one day I'm going to get to the kingdom of God. But Jesus says, hey, if I cast out demons by the power of God, by the finger of God, you know that the kingdom of God has come to you. Amen? You want to see the kingdom of God in your life in 2011? You can ask God. You know, Matthew adds, your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? You know that part? You know, this one reads a little bit different than Matthew, and it reads a little bit different maybe than some of the Catholic Church and Episcopalian Church. You do the Lord's Prayer, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know that one? You know, and you read that, and you go, whoa, there's chunks missing out of this thing. Well, this is the way that Luke recorded it for us. But to pray that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as your will is done in heaven, let it be done on earth around me. Amen? What would that look like? What would the kingdom of God look like released in your life? Well, what it would be, it would cause this world to look a little bit more like it did before the fall. Like it lit before the curse. And what we would see is evil pushed back. Think of the evil that is around you. Think of the sin that is around you. And to see God's kingdom just manifest in your life and just push it back. We see the absence of evil and the absence of sin. And what we see is the presence of God's holiness and the presence of God's righteousness in us, through us, around us. Do you want that? Is Lisa the only one? So you ask yourself, do you want to see the kingdom of God flowing around you? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Some of us don't. John said, this is the verdict. Light come into the world, but men love darkness instead and really don't want to see the kingdom of God around them. I'd rather be about my business. Don't be telling me what I can't do. I'll come to church a couple times a year. And God better just be happy with that. Some people rather have darkness. Get away with what you can. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You pray that for the kingdom? You want the kingdom? We can ask God for it. Part of the kingdom includes provision. Oh, we ask for that. Give us each day our daily bread. You know that part, right?
Yes.
Now, we've got all kinds of options down here. Now, you might have a great job. You might just be working like crazy. You say, hey, you know what? I work my 40. I get my paycheck. I am good. I don't have to rely upon anyone. You might be thinking, you know what? My check comes from Uncle Sam. Like clockwork. I don't even get a check anymore. Automatic deposit magically appears in my bank account, and I am good. I don't have to rely upon anybody. I got my Uncle Sam taking care of me. And what we do when we think like that is we begin to squeeze the kingdom of God out of our lives. Because you can have a great job, and you can say, Lord, you can just have this job. You can have all my money. I'll give you my family. I give you everything, Lord. Because I'm surrender everything to you that I might be part of your kingdom. You know, the Lord says, I received that job. You could say, you know what? I got my SSI check. I got my SDI check. I got what kind of check coming from Uncle Sam? And Lord, that I just surrender that check to you, Lord, because I want you to use that and me and everything I have for your kingdom. Now, some people are there, I surrender my check to the Lord. He's going to take that. No, he ain't going to take it. You just begin to orient yourself, right? God is first. Lord, you give me my daily bread. I know I'm working. I know I'm getting a paycheck. I know I'm getting a check in the mail. But whatever all that other stuff is, Lord, it all comes up. Surrendered and submitted to you, Lord. You are my provision. You are my strength. You are my guide. You are my direction. All those things, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to keep working. But, Lord, I'm keeping my eyes focused on you. Do you see how different that is? Do you see how different that is? See, when you live your life with a focus on the Lord, he hook you up. There is that provision, a daily bread. The children of Israel out in the wilderness for 40 years. Every day they got manna except on Sabbath. They got twice on Friday. Didn't have to go out on the Sabbath. The Lord will protect your life. You want that in 2011? Or you just want to work on your own? Like, yeah, Lord, that's fine, man, but I got my check from wherever. All this church stuff. Let's not get too real about this stuff. Come on. Now, if you're thinking like that, I would imagine your 2010 didn't go too great. All right, where am I at? Unbe, praise the Lord. Bible tells us he gave manna to the children of Israel. He also says, Jesus says, that the Lord feeds the birds of the air, that he clothes the lilies of the field. And he says he loves you more than he loves birds and more than he loves flowers. That you can come to him and you can trust him for your provision. Now, if you're flat busted today, you say, Lord, I'm flat busted. I give you my life. Will you hook me up? He will. He will. Right, Thomas?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you, flat busted, got nothing, still don't want to surrender to God. Don't want to give up control. Amen. He feeds the birds, he clothes the lilies of the field, and he'll take care of you. Some of you have got provision. You're saying, you know, I'm doing okay. I don't think I need the Lord in this. How is your 2010? So the Lord says, I can guarantee you that 2011 will be better than 2010. You want to know how? He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, some of you don't tithe. Some of you will crack open a dollar and throw it into that bag. Think you're doing the Lord a favor. And the Lord says, that's all I'm worth for you is a dollar? That's how much you trust me is a dollar? This is what Malachi says. Bring the whole tithe. That's 10%. And the Lord likes the first cut, not the bottom cut. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Do we got food in our house here? We got so much food. We got an abundance of food. God is blessing. Some of you are not receiving that blessing. Why? You don't participate in the tithe. So wait a minute. And I'm not saying, you know, God's not a slot machine, folks. But he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, for some of you, that was 2010. You were blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. Some of you were blessed so much. Some of you know what? The Lord meets my every need. Some of you think, you know what? I got no lack of need. I work hard, and I'm smart, and I'm not trying not to be stupid. I trust the Lord, and he gives me what I need. He might not give me everything I want, but he sure does meet my every need. You're a tither? You can expect to participate in that. Drawing closer to God. Say, God, here's my job. You say, God, here's my check. You say, God, here is my life. You say, God, here's my kingdom. God says, step on into mine. Doesn't that sound good? See, some of you guys got baptized. They're thinking, yes, that's the deal I'm looking for. That's what I want. I want to be part of God's kingdom. I want to share in God's blessings. I want to share in his wisdom. I want to share in his spirit. I want to share in his provision. And that's the way God's economy works. Amen? Amen. All right. Are we okay today? We're good? All right. Oops, sorry. All right, here we go. There's protection in the kingdom of God. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Are you doing that? Are you the only honest one here, Sandra? Drinking in church, unforgiving. I'm going to work on this, girl. We need to give and receive forgiveness. We need to give and receive forgiveness. Hey, because we all miss the target. Bible says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we all shall fall short of the glory of God. And because we fall short of the glory of God, because we mess up, we need to ask God to forgive us. Lord, forgive me. You know, maybe right now you're just thinking, you just get this knife blade in your heart because you know that you are doing stuff that you need to get forgiven for. Amen? Bible has got an avenue for you. Says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, if you're feeling guilty right now and you need to get liberated, at the end of service, you can come up here and you can say, Lord, you know what? I have messed up my life. Lord, I have been doing this stuff that I know your Holy Spirit's been on me. Lord, I need forgiveness, Lord, and I'm not going to do it again. Now, if you're planning, if the Lord is talking about going to the casino, and gambling away your check, or going to the bar, drinking your check up, and your family's got some drama and all that kind of stuff, and the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, and you're going to go, oh, Lord, forgive me, because I'm going to the casino this afternoon. That's not the way it works. I'll tell you what, you do that, I guarantee you will lose. Lord, make sure you lose. Lord owns the planet. He controls them slots, baby. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going there. Okay, we're not going to go there. Where are we going to go? Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and he came to Peter, and Peter said, oh, you're not going to wash my feet. And he goes to Peter, and he says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And Peter says, oh, okay, why don't you give me a whole bath then? And he goes, Peter, you don't need a bath, but you need to get your feet washed. And he's describing that we have a need, that we pick stuff up in our daily lives, living lives surrounded by sin. And we'll pick stuff up. And he says, you don't need a whole bath. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. But he says, you're gonna make some mistakes. You might even bring a soda up and drink it in the sanctuary. But when you do, you can say, Lord, just like Sandra did, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, that's good, I know now. And I hope all these other people are reading it too, because I'll pull you out. Say, Lord, I messed up. See, some people, they mess up and they run away. Lord wants you to be like a little boy running to his mama when he stubs his toe. Mom, I'm hurt. And what's that mama do? So it came to the dad. Come on, rub that off. Put some dirt on it. You come to mama, right? Like, kiss him and snuggle on him. That's what the Lord wants from you. When you mess up, you come running to the Lord. Lord, I need forgiveness. I've messed up. I don't know what to do. And he says, I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll make it like you never sinned. Jesus came to Peter and said, I'm going to wash your feet. He said, no. He says, you got no part of me, but I do need to wash your feet. Amen? That makes sense? This is okay, right? We're doing good? All right. Also, he says, in the same way that you get forgiveness, you need to give forgiveness. And that can be tough. Some of us working on that. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Talking, Jesus is talking about forgiving your brother's sins against you. And he says, if you forgive men, if, that's a big if. If you got your Bible open, circle that if. If you don't have it open, go there later. Circle that if. If you forgive men when they sin against you, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if, circle that if, you don't forgive men their sins, your Father in heaven is not going to forgive you your sins. That's pretty stiff, isn't it? You want forgiveness? You better learn to forgive. You better learn how to, in the same way you surrender your job and your check over to the Lord, you surrender that person that has sinned against you over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to deal with this person. Think the Lord can deal with that person? Amen. Amen. Lord can deal with that person. Say, Lord, I'm going to surrender them over to you and I'm going on with my life. They call that forgiveness. Doesn't mean if somebody's beating on you, ladies, if some guy is beating on you, that you forgive him and let him beat on you again. That is not what that means. You do not. The God, Lord does not call you to be stupid. But the Lord would call you to a position of safety and to a position of forgiveness. And because you forgive doesn't mean you have to go to a dangerous place. But it does mean that you'll be liberated and you'll be forgiven by your Father in heaven. Is that okay? Yes. Amen. Okay. Now, last thing. And I'm pretty quick. Lord, keep me safe. Lord, keep me safe. How many of you guys want safety from the Lord? Amen? It says, lead us. You say, lead me not into temptation. Lord, keep me safe. See, we're surrounded by temptation. Amen? We are a covetous people. Covetous means we are a desirous people. We want stuff. We see it and we want it. Now, you might want food. You know what it is? They call it, when you want food, they call it gluttony. It might be a nice-looking man. It might be a nice-looking woman. You know what they call that? They call that lust. Gluttony. Lust. All kinds of stuff. When you want money, call it greed. We are surrounded by temptation. There's people who try to make money off your temptation. They'll put advertisements out. Advertising for your gluttony. Advertising for your greed. Advertising for your lust. They're trying to get paid. They're trying to tempt you. Say, Lord, keep me from temptation. Keep me safe. You know what? We need to keep away from dangerous places. Some people think that this keep me safe, keep me away from temptation, means that we should be praying that God will protect us when we're doing bad things. Like, Lord, I'm going to the casino. Keep me from temptation. And amazingly enough, your car will break down. Lord, I'm getting on the bus. Lord can make that bus break down. Why? Because the Bible says that the Lord is going to protect us. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. It's like, you know what? You are not going through anything special here today, folks. You know what? You got greed. You got lust. You got, what was the other one? Gluttony. You know what? All kinds of people got that. And you know what? All kinds of people want that for a long time. Don't think you, I'm the first person with lust. Been going around for a long time, folks. Bible says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. Can I get a witness on that? You know what? God has got his eyes on you. He will deliver you and protect you. What does it say? He says, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, now this is the key part, he will provide a way out. And when that car breaks down on the way to where's the casino name? Viejas. You can say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Problem is, folks, sometimes we miss that open door. Right? How many times did you get wrecked in the MTS, bro? Look at you, man. They dump you over all the time. That's right, going to the casino, yeah. The guy driving, how come I ever get a wreck every time Balthazar gets in my car, man? God's judging me because of Balthazar. Some of you think, oh, pastor, pray for me. Because I'm sinning. Pray for me because I'm sinning. And you think somehow that my prayer is going to motivate God to aid you in your sin. God's going to provide you an avenue out. He's going to have you ask me to pray, and I'm going to say, how come? We just need to stop that. Well, I really don't want to stop that. See, there are ramifications for sin. You want to gamble, you will eventually lose money. You go the first time, you'll win. Why? That's the devil saying, ooh, you got to get hooked on this. You want to get high? You know what? You'll lose your money, lose your job, lose your family. Be a glutton? I mean, I saw this TV show the other day for like 1 minute. I could not handle it. It's called Heavy. These people weigh like 600 pounds. I mean, massive. I could not watch it. I mean, and you know, I got to make a change in my life. I mean, ramifications to our choices. You want to go out and drink? Get a DUI. I think cost of a DUI is up to 10 grand. Anybody got an extra 10 grand? Better not get a DUI. Better not get a DUI. See, there are ramifications to sin that the Lord puts in place so that you won't sin anymore. And when you pray, Lord, keep me safe, keep me from temptation, he wants to keep you away from that sin. And after you've sinned and you get the ramifications, say, Lord, could you please remove the ramifications from my sin? He says, no, that's not the way it works. I'll forgive you, but you're still going to have to deal with that 10 grand on that DUI. I'll tell you what, you can get saved in prison. I encourage you to get to know the Lord on the outside, because if you only know the Lord on the inside, he'll keep you on the inside. He says, I don't care, do 25 to life, just so long as I know you, because I'm worried about your eternal life. He won't let you get away. No temptation has seized you. He's going to provide an avenue out. The big question today is, are you going to take it? Some of you had an avenue this last week. Christmas celebrating, New Year celebrating, and you made a poor choice. And if you look back, you go, oh, dude, I had avenues out. I had doors to escape all over the place. And I didn't. Kingdom of God, prayer, an opportunity to enter into the edge of the kingdom of God. How's your prayer life? Where's your focus? 2010, and where's it going to be in 2011? Where do you want it to be? Are you racked with guilt right now? Are you thinking, Lord, I need you just to forgive me? Maybe you are just dried up. You just got no provision. You said, Lord, I need your daily bread. But what I'm telling you today and what the Holy Spirit would communicate to you today is 2011 can be a kingdom year. He says, if you give me yours, I'll give you mine.